Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 58. I'm Michelle Malloy Dillon.
And I'm Janice Cumming. And Michelle, today we're excited to have our friend Marianne Kerr join us. And Marianne is, I love this, because she is the Chief Happiness Officer and CEO of the Medalist Group. So welcome, Marianne.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
So why don't you, for our listeners who might not be familiar with the Medalist Group, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do there?
Sure. Well, after a 33-year career in the social profit sector, kind of primarily doing fundraising and organizational leadership, I looked at my career and I said, you know, when were the moments when I, with teams, was the most successful? And it was times when we had really kind, inclusive, collaborative, well-led teams. And so I wanted to focus on, you know, you kind of look at your bandwidth. I've got maybe 15 years, I think, of time ahead of me working. And I thought, where could I have the most impact? And that's where I felt I could have the most impact, to create cultures where or people who work in the sector can be successful. But at the heart of it for me are fundraisers, because I have a deep love and respect for that work. And so I want to create workplaces where they can be successful.
Nice. Yeah. And I will say, like, I love, you know, on LinkedIn, for example, when I see your posts, I always want to read them, because I think your values around compassion and kindness ring true. And there's also a way in which you are creating like a nice community where conversations are happening that are really powerful and inspiring, but come from that lens of kindness, which is a nice thing to find on social media nowadays.
Well, thank you. That is so nice of you to say. Wow.
Yeah. And I love the blog that you wrote, Marianne, because there's so many great ideas in it. And I especially like how you began it, where you've really talked in this week's blog about how there is a playbook for leadership. Mm-hmm. And there's such an expression right now during COVID that, you know, what do we do? We don't know what to do. There's no playbook. We don't know what to do. And I love that you're fighting for the fact that there is indeed, we actually have some great information that can be really helpful. Yeah. For organizations during this time.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I agree. I mean, there's not even just one playbook. There are so many playbooks. And I shared one that is particularly important to me, one that I love that really resonates with me in the leadership challenge. But I think that, you know, you can listen to blogs, read blogs, listen to podcasts. There are so many resources available today to help us to lead. And, you know, in particular, Kuzes and Posner in the Leadership Challenge talk about leadership during a crisis. Like they actually talk about this particular kind of situation and how important it is. Oh, that would be my dog you're hearing in the background.
Hello.
So I think that there's just lots and lots of opportunity, and I could turn my computer around and show you my wall of books and we could pull some out. But you know, not everybody likes to read. Maybe you have a mentor or you have a leader you admire. I have been amazed. I reached out to Bob Chapman, who runs a company in the US. I think he has something like 15,000 employees worldwide. He talks about heartfelt leadership. I reached out to him on LinkedIn. I mean, he seemed to me, I was like, really found him. There was an irreverence, right? And he responded, he answered my questions. He was totally accessible as a human being. And I think that that's the world we live in today. There are playbooks and there are leaders who know how to do this.
Yeah, like it really struck me, you know, one of the things you talked about was like, it's like whenever a major event happens, like whether it's in the world or whether just an organization goes through something, like we use this word unprecedented. Mm-hmm. But it's like every time something happens, it was unprecedented, right? We're always in a new world. And I think that I'm starting to notice that, like, there, you know, of course there was like a little bit of a panic phase, you know, early on in this, which is understandable and exactly where we should be. But now it does feel people are going like, oh, like, let's get back to the basics, like the leadership basics, the fundraising basics, the relationship building basics, these all stand true. Yeah. So maybe you can tell us a little bit, because I know we'll link to the blog and you talk about that book, but what is it about that that you feel like in this moment are some of the fundamentals you want people to remember about leadership?
I think the one that really resonates most for me is about modeling behavior. I was writing for another blog, and I was doing interviews with folks and asking about, what's happening for you now in the workplace, now that you're working remotely and they're, doing lots of Zoom and other kinds of calls. And I was hearing about a lot of bad behavior, and I was disappointed, right? I think that this idea people need to hold on to about modeling leadership, right? Modeling modeling leadership doesn't mean that I only ever bring my very best to every situation. Modeling leadership means that I'm authentic and genuine. So if I'm having a rough day, I let people know I'm having a rough day, because that gives them permission to have a rough day. If I'm not going to meet a deadline, if I'm not going to be as productive as I hoped I would be, I need to share that in order to create space for other people. And I believe that so strong. And again, this is something that was true before the pandemic, and it's true today, and it will be true when we get through this. So I think that's the biggest piece for me. And the concept of, all those things around visioning and so on are super important, but the concept of collaboration has really been a big one for me. And I think, Janice, we've seen some great mm-hmm. examples of collaboration, and then there have been moments when I've gone, oh, that could have been so much better.
Yeah, and I've sort of noticed you on social media. Like at one point, you were like, "Please share the good stories. Like I want yes. the inspiring yes. stories to come out."
Yeah. And I really wasn't. I still have not had too many. I've had some, but not to the extent that I felt okay. This is a trend we're moving towards, right?
Yeah. Oh, please share good leadership stories. That would be fantastic. So, yes.
There was a really beautiful post that Sharon Avery did from the Toronto Foundation, and then another one, I've forgotten the woman's name who runs the firm Edelman. Sorry, her name's gone out of my head, but they both spoke about how they have become more open to genuine, vulnerable, heart-based leadership. And I did share those. And I also said, I suspect both of those women were already doing that, right? It wasn't some explosion that went off or light bulb that went off and said, oh, wait, I need to be kind. I need to be nice. I need to care about people. Mm-hmm. I think, these are things that are at the root of who we are as human beings, and our need to connect and to care, because we're not just, I'm not just seeing into your home, Michelle, and the beautiful photographs on your wall. That is important. And you're hearing my dog bark, and probably my husband will speak because he has this big booming voice, and you'll know that too. But I want to see into your heart, into your emotional life. I want to really understand how you are today.
Well, I love what you're pointing to, Marianne, because leadership really starts with self and being honest with ourselves, what might be going on, and then having the courage to express it and be vulnerable with the people we're with. And there's something that's come out of this time of COVID, where we're all working out of our homes, that has created that vulnerability automatically by being able to see those personal things on the screen behind people, or hear the sounds from people's families behind them. That even if someone was not comfortable with that vulnerability prior to COVID, it's just sort of here now, and we're all learning how to dance with it. And being aware of the impact of what that vulnerability has on other people. So your example of, like, I'm not having a great day can actually be very impactful, because it gives other people a permission to not have a great day sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's what's coming up for me too. I love what you said, Marianne, because I was thinking about, like, I've been lucky to work for some amazing women leaders, you know, who really were very authentic. And it's almost like when you were talking about Sharon Avery, it's sort of like maybe now there's more permission. Mm-hmm. Like the status quo is disrupted and we can't do things. Like if you know, a lot of people are at home, like not only dogs, but young children. I don't have children. I can't even imagine what it's like to like be navigating this with young children. So it can't be the way it was. So it's almost like now we have this full permission to maybe declare that we're leading in a way that we already secretly were or wanted to. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, I harp a little bit on Bob Chapman because I think, and I encourage people to reach out to him on LinkedIn, but I harp on him because I think there's a tendency to believe that this is gender related, right? That this heartfelt leadership is something that women more naturally do. And that may be true, but I've seen many, many men, Mike Vacanti, Kevin Monroe, both on LinkedIn, and people who are promoting humans first leadership. So I think that it is there and it's been there for quite some time. So we just really need to be embracing it and connecting with it. And
yeah.
Well, and you mentioned in your blog too, something about, you know, sometimes we need to challenge the status quo, and this situation has challenged the status quo. We didn't have to do it. It just happened. And now that it's been challenged, you know, what do we want to do about it?
Yeah.
In our organizations, in our families, in our lives, what do we want to change permanently as a result of this? And what are we learning? It offers so many great opportunities for that.
I love that question because I've been ending a lot of my posts with the words, if not now, when, right? Because, and if you read what I write, I've had a little bee in my bonnet lately about food banks because of course people need to eat. Of course they do. But food banks have, you know, were created as a response to an emergency, I think 30, 35 years ago. They are a system that I personally find not so terribly dignified in terms of how folks interact with that system. So if I'm sitting at a food bank and suddenly demand has increased exponentially, and so has fundraising revenue, because many, many people have said, yes, we want to support this. And I mean, if there was an organization or a sector within our sector that has really been elevated, it has been the food bank system. I would be saying to myself, how can I do this better? How can I get these millions of dollars into the hands of the people who need them? Need it most, rather than have those people come to me to get boxes of food, much of which, and again, wonderful that food organizations are donating food. But the truth is, they're donating a lot of white colored food, right? They're donating the ends of lines. They're donating, you know, it is not like we're giving the gift of nutrition, right? through this. So, and again, I'm not faulting food banks or the food bank system because it's necessary and important. And I donated because it was the system that allowed me to do that. Mm-hmm. But could we send gift cards? Could we, like, what are the ways in which we could address this that get to the root of food insecurity, which is largely poverty, right? How can we get to the root of the issue instead of just doing what we've always done?
Yeah.
Well, those, and they've done some great collaborations. There was a collaboration with the Toronto Public Library Foundation and Food Banks Canada to get books, children's books into the hands of kids. I mean, what a beautiful example of collaboration. But for me, it's about really looking at the system. And if this isn't a moment for us to look at the various systems we're in and how we might impact them and facilitate different visions of the future. I don't know when we'll ever have a more perfect moment.
Yeah, and you've mentioned a couple of times collaboration, like there's such a power in how you're talking about it and not working within siloed systems that have existed up until now, but breaking down those barriers and asking for help or new ways of doing things with other organizations or other partners that you may not have had a chance to work with before to find out if there's new systems that can be set up that would be much more beneficial moving forward.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think there's lots of organizations too. You know, the inequity in the philanthropic sector has really been highlighted, right? So, you know, we know there are hospital foundations, for instance. I'm going to harp on an organization I love, but there's big hospital foundations who have tens of millions of dollars in funds, unrestricted, not endowment, but unrestricted reserves. And then there's small little organizations like my beloved Gildas Club Greater Toronto, right, which provides very specific support for men, women, and children living with cancer. They'll struggle. And if they survive, in my heart, I hope they'll survive, but they might not survive this because we've been hand to mouth from the beginning, right? And we're a small organization. So I look at that and I think we're serving the same population as some of those big hospitals downtown. We physically are right around the corner. If we put the patient, if we put our mission at the center of this conversation, we should be reaching out and helping the Gildas Clubs of the world to survive this, right? That's the kind of collaboration we need.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. I mean, I used to work at the United Way here in Toronto, and that was something I really learned during my sort of 5 years there, was this sense of like, we have to say like, this is an issue that we're trying to tackle, and let go of like the how and kind of blow it up and say like, what is actually the way that we can help a person navigate whatever issue this is, right? I think the other thing, you know, I'm sure you've been following this too, Marianne, here in Toronto is like suddenly housing, I mean, which has been such a crucial issue in our city, is being looked at in some very exciting and innovative ways. So I have a lot of hope, you know, that the light that's been shined during this on that issue will lead to something different and more innovative and more, you know, giving people like the thing that was coming up for me as you were talking to the food banks is like putting the power in the people, like giving people choice, like allowing people to live their lives in the way that they choose to, rather than trying to impose a solution. So
providing agency, right? It's the difference. It's so basic. And I love let's face it, commercial real estate, the world of commercial real estate is going to change dramatically. So many organizations now saying, I heard on the other, Shopify saying their staff are all now going to stay home. So that's going to change the availability of space in cities like Toronto. And I hope it will create a whole new space for folks who, you know, I think it's all about poverty reduction, right, at the end of the day. And so I agree with you. I have a lot of optimism about the future. I have a lot.
Yeah. So let's give our listeners something that they can try from this, listening to this conversation and reading your post.
You know, if I was going to say one thing, I'd say to really give thought to modeling in an intentional way in all parts of your life. So how am I showing up for my kids, for my pets, right? For my partner, for my coworkers, for my volunteer organizations, how am I showing up and how am I modeling the way forward and how am I leading? Because, I just want to touch on something you said, Janice. I think you can imagine what it's like for people with young children. I know you can, because I know that about you. And so I think sometimes also about folks who are alone, who don't have pets, who don't have partners, and I thought momentarily, I don't know how that would be, but actually I do, right? Mm-hmm. I do, and I think we can empathize and have compassion for worlds that are different than our own, and we can model that by saying, I understand, right? Mm-hmm. I hear you, I see you, I am you, so. Modeling, that's the intentional piece I'd take away.
Yeah, I love that. Modeling the leadership that you want to see in the world, and perhaps coming at it from an empathetic perspective if you're in a situation where you feel like, I don't quite get this. Look at the other person's perspective, and I bet you understand more than you think you do.
Right.
Yeah. And that, you know, a reminder, what you're giving us, Marianne, which Michelle and you know, David and I really believe from our leadership training, is like, we're leaders in every area of our life. You know, you're a leader in your family and your community and in your job. And for yourself, right? I mean, you also have to lead yourself. So that's really beautiful. Just before we wrap up, Marianne, where's the best place for people to connect with you? Because as I mentioned, there's lots of kindness and compassion and good conversation going on. So where do you want them to reach out to you?
Honestly, the best place to reach me is on LinkedIn. You can also go to my website where there's an information page, but LinkedIn is the best spot, and it's just Marianne Kerr.
Okay, and we will link to that in the show notes so that people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marianne.
My pleasure.
Great. So please subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Now go put it into practice. Curiosity.